Here we are. Praise the Lord. This morning I'm going to speak on a topic called the good and the perfect gift. But before we turn to that, allow me just to open the word in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit. And Lord, as I just preach and teach the things that you've laid on my heart this morning, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless everyone that is here this morning. And that they would feel encouraged and even maybe a little bit challenged, Lord, but just drawn closer to you in their relationship with you. And Lord, that as we leave the building this morning, that we leave knowing that we have met with the Lord in a very real and a very simple but practical way. All of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk about this particular two verses. Now, these two verses, I am sure you have read them before or you've seen them before. They're familiar verses. And I'm going to read it. And it's from the New Testament book called James, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And it says this: "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." I want to talk on the topic of the good and perfect gifts of God. And there are 5 points that we're going to have a look at this morning. But before we get to those 5 points, there's one or two little things in those verses that I'd like to just share with you. James was a biological brother of Jesus. And you will know from reading his letter to the church that he introduces himself as a servant of the Lord, a servant of God. He didn't kind of name drop. You know when you know somebody famous or somebody who's big, you kind of think, you know, you drop their name into the conversation because you want to get across to the people who are listening to you that I know this person. And James didn't introduce himself as, "I am the biological brother of Jesus." No, he didn't do that. He introduced himself as a servant. So he was very humble in that way. He could have name dropped that he was the brother of Jesus, but he didn't. When he writes his letter to the brothers and sisters, he just introduces himself simply as a servant of the Lord, a servant of Jesus. And that's what he is, and that's what he was, and that's what we are. You are a servant of the Lord. You work in partnership with God. And he says these words: "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived." And so the very fact that he says those words would cause you to think that we have the ability to be deceived. If he's telling the brothers and the sisters, the believers of the church, "Don't be deceived," then it is possible that you can be deceived. There are some of us who have been deceived in life. We've been scammed, we've been robbed. Somebody has presented something in one way, and we found out at a later date that actually that wasn't the case at all. And so we do have the ability to be deceived. But James makes a point of including this point as he writes to the brothers and sisters. And he's talking about gifts. And he's talking about it in the context of gifts, of who they come from and where they come from. And he says this: every, not just some, not just one or two, what, not just a spontaneous one every now and again, but he actually says the word "every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And so James makes a point of saying to the church, you got to recognize where the gifts of God come from. they come from above. They don't come from below. They don't come from the east or the west. You've got to recognize in your life, in your faith, where the gifts of God come from. They come from above. They come from heaven. It's almost like God has a storehouse. And they trickle down. Have you ever seen those lights, those Christmas lights that people put on their houses? And they trickle down like little icicle lights. It's like gifts of God that trickle down from above, from heaven. They are the heavenly lights. And the other thing that he mentions is, not only have the church to recognize where the good and perfect gifts come from, but who they come from. He says they come from your heavenly Father. They come from the Father of heavenly lights, which is your heavenly Father and my heavenly Father. And so if God is our God who loves to give gifts, and those gifts are good and they are perfect, then that means he's a generous person. He is a generous, loving, gracious heavenly Father who loves to give gifts to his children. So that means that God is not stingy, that God is not tight, that God is not one who is wanting to hold back the goodness of that which he can give to his children. The God that you serve and that we serve together is your loving, generous heavenly Father who loves to give gifts to his children. And they come down from above. They come down from heaven like little trinklets of light that come down upon your life. And you have received gifts in your life, and I have received gifts. There are many gifts of God. But to name one or two, like, we could be here all morning if we wanted to name every gift of God. Here, I'll throw a few out. One, the gift of life. You are alive and have been given life because your loving, gracious, generous Heavenly Father has given you the gift of life. And not only life here, but eternal life. So you have a hope. So that whenever that day comes, when you pass from this life to the next, you will spend eternity with the one that loves you and the one that you love. You've got life, you've got eternal life. There is the gift of salvation, which is being here on earth and being rescued, being saved from the trauma or the trials of earth and the tribulations of earth and saved from sin. There's lots of gifts. There's the gift of forgiveness, the gift where God gives you the gift of forgiveness and forgives you and says, it's okay. I've wiped away all of your sin. Jesus has taken it upon himself. And what about the gift of prayer? Ah, sure, where would we be without the gift of prayer? When I think about the gift of prayer, I think it's like a fruit that is growing upon a tree. And the branches of the tree are within touching distance. We don't have to get a ladder. We don't have to get a stool or a chair in order to stand up and reach for it. No, because when God gives us gifts, he makes them within easy reach. And the gift of prayer is one of those gifts that when you eat of the fruit of it, oh, it tastes lovely. Oh, it's nourishing. Oh, it is beautiful. The gift of prayer. It's wholesome. It's lovely. It tastes sweet, the gift of prayer. There are many gifts. And if you read through the scriptures and you read through the Bible, there are many gifts that God gives. And some of them are spiritual gifts. Paul writes about those in Corinthians, which is, you know, gifts like speaking in tongues or the gift of interpretation of tongues or the gift of prophecy. These are gifts given to the church in order to build the church up. But they're special gifts where people have the ability to move in the giftings of the Holy Spirit. The gift of serving, the gift of giving, the gift. There are many gifts that God gives to his children and gives to his church. Because he is a generous giver. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking about asking and seeking and knocking? He says, everyone who asks receives. And everybody who knocks, the door will be opened. And everyone who asks, seeks, knocks will receive. And he, in that passage of scripture in Matthew, it says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and a door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks will find. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so, don't be afraid to ask your Father for something. He likes to say yes. He likes to give because he is a generous giver. God is good and the giver is good. He is your loving heavenly Father. The good and the perfect gift, which is really a description of the gifts that God gives, because every gift that God gives is good. And every gift that God gives is perfect because it is him who gives it. And so this morning, I want to talk about five little points that if we were to describe God and his gifts, how would we describe them? And how would he give them? And the first point that I'd like to share with you this morning is that when God, your loving heavenly Father, gives a gift, is that he thinks it through. Now that may seem very, very obvious. And it's actually very good to state the obvious when it comes to the Lord. Because when you state the obvious about God, it kind of reassures and builds up what you already know. Sometimes when you confess with your mouth what you know in your head and in your heart, you feel good, it edifies you. But when God, your loving heavenly Father, gives a gift, he thinks it through. He actually takes time to think about the gift that he's going to give. He looks at the gift and he thinks about the gift. And then he thinks about the people or the person whom he's going to give the gift to. And so he asks himself, will that be a good match? Will it complement the person or the people? He actually takes time to think about the gift. He prepares, he plans. God is not impulsive. Have you ever been, and I've done this, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone on this, on Christmas Eve, when you want to get a gift for the one that you love, and you haven't got the gift, and you're running around like a headless chicken, and you're thinking, I gotta get a gift, I gotta get a gift, because if I don't get a gift, she's gonna be sad, she's gonna be angry, she's gonna be upset with me if I don't get a gift. And so we run around, and we think, oh, what will I get, what will I get? I'll get everything! And you buy out of being impulsive. Why? Because you haven't taken time to think it through. You haven't taken time to reflect on the one that you want to buy a gift for. And the gift, and you ask yourself, will that be a good gift? Will it be a match for that person? And so, even though you already know this, the first point that I want to share with you this morning is that when God, your loving heavenly Father, the generous one, when he gives a gift, he thinks it through. He is one who thinks and reflects and prepares and plans. He is one who thinks the gift through. Let's move on to point number two. And so the second point that I'd like to share with you this morning is goodness. When your Heavenly Father is planning to give a gift to somebody that he loves, one of his children, or even a church, or whoever it may be, the aim of the gift is to bring about goodness in the life of the receiver. God, your loving Heavenly Father, He wants to, for you to know the goodness of Him in your life. And that when He gives a gift, that you experience the goodness. So that you and I can say, God is good. Have you ever received a gift in your life and you just know it's from God? You just know that He brought this into your life. It could be something practical. It could be a person. It could be something else. And you've said to yourself, God is good. God is good. And so when you say that, when you know that in your heart and in your mind, God has achieved His goal. He wants you to know the goodness of Him in your life. Because when you know the goodness of God in your life, it strengthens your relationship with Him. So that when the future comes, when you're waiting on something, you'll know in your head and you'll know in your heart that God is good. Irrespective of what my situation or my circumstances say to me, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Now, the goodness of God isn't always at the start known in the life of the person. Do you remember the Christmas story when Mary was pregnant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit? And she was pledged to be married to Joseph. And I'm going to remind you of some little verses. But Joseph got a little bit unsettled, he did. He got a little bit, oh, I don't know what's going on here. Let me remind you of these verses, and you'll know them. They're found in Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Oh. See, there was a time in Joseph's life when the one that he loved, Mary, was pregnant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And this was a gift of God to them and to the wider world. But in Joseph's life, this unsettled him, because he thought to himself, maybe I should divorce Mary. I don't understand this. I don't really know what's going on here. What am I saying is that when God gives a gift, just as He gave Jesus to Mary and Joseph and to you, to me, that right at the beginning, it can unsettle. It can confuse. It can cause one to think, what's going on here? Just as it did in the life of Joseph. But the goodness of the gift will come into the lives of the receivers through time, because babies need time to grow. And so it is with the gift of God, that when God gives a gift to His people, to His sons or His daughters or to His church, that right at the beginning you may not know the goodness, but it is over a period of time that as the goodness grows, then you begin to know the goodness of that gift in your life. And so, when God, your loving Heavenly Father, gives a gift, number one, He thinks it through, and number two, He wants you to know the goodness of Him. Number three, the third point I'd like to share with you when God gives a gift is, it's got to be a right fit. It's got to be a right fit. Like, for instance, like, even though a teenager might like a Lamborghini, it wouldn't be a good gift to give. And hands up who'd like a Lamborghini here this morning. Oh, look, here, there's one, a couple over here as well. Like, if we had the ability as a church to give a Lamborghini to one of the young people this morning, they might say, this is a great gift. But it's not the right gift. Because number one, they don't have a driving license. Number two, they could do some damage. And so, when you give a gift, it's got to be the right gift. Like, you wouldn't give a laptop to a two-year-old. Or you wouldn't give a knife to a young person, because it's not the right gift. It just doesn't go together. It just doesn't fit together. And so when God gives a gift, even though you know this, and even though these are simple things, It's got to be the right gift. It's got to be the right fit. Like a jigsaw, the pieces go together. They complement one another. Do you remember that famous story about David? And he was going into battle with Goliath. And the story goes that there was this big guy called Goliath. Like he was head and shoulders above everybody. And everybody was afraid of Goliath. And David was a young shepherd boy. And he went because he wanted to slay Goliath. And the story goes that Saul said to David, here's my coat of armor. Put it on you. And so Saul takes off his coat of armor and he puts it onto the young David. And David's like, I can't go in this. Like, this doesn't fit me. Like, I'm going to have to take it off. And so when David went into battle against Goliath, he had to take the coat of armor that belonged to Saul off him because it wasn't the right fit. It didn't fit David. It fit Saul. And so in our lives, you got to have a right fit. When God gives a gift to you or to anybody, he makes sure that it's a right fit. It's almost like a garment that is made to measure. Have you ever been measured for a suit? And you put on your lovely new suit or your lovely new dress and it's been made to measure because it's the right fit. It's like when you put your hand into a glove. It's the right fit. And so it is with the gift of God. When he gives it to you or he gives it to me, it's the right fit. It's right for you. And it's right for his people. Hallelujah. Will we go on to number four, will we? Let's do this. Number four. That when God gives a gift, number one is he thinks it through. Number two, he wants the person to know the goodness of him in their lives. Number three, he wants it to be a right fit for the individual or the church or whoever it may be. And number four, he wants that person, that son, that daughter, to know the joy of God in their lives. God doesn't give gifts to bring sadness into people's lives or to bring despair or disappointment or tragedy or trial or anything of those. No. God is generous. He's loving. He's kind. And so when he gives a gift, he wants the receiver to know the joy of that and to know the joy of the Lord in their lives. And when they know the joy of the Lord in their lives, they will be strengthened, because the Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Have you ever known the joy of God in your heart and you begin to say to yourself, I feel strengthened in my heart. I feel strengthened in my faith. And so when God gives a gift, that's what he has in mind. That's one of his goals, one of his objectives, is that when the gift is received, the person experiences the joy and the goodness and they begin to feel strengthened in their faith. They begin to feel strengthened in their relationship with God. And so, number four is to bring joy. And the last point, like this goes without saying, but the last point is that when God gives a gift, you gotta open it. You gotta open the gift. If he was to give you something today, you gotta receive it, and you can receive it with joy. God has thought it through. He wants you to know the goodness of him in your life. He wants you to know the joy of him in his life. But you gotta open the gift. You gotta receive the gift and say, thank you very much, I'm gonna open it. How sad would it be if you were given a gift and it's all wrapped up? And it's all nice and decorative. And the bow was still on the gift. And you didn't open it. But you wonder to yourself, I wonder what's inside that gift. I wonder actually what's inside there. But if you never took time to actually pull the bow off the gift. Or take the wrapping paper off and see it for yourself. You'd be disappointed if you didn't do that. And so God, when he gives you the gift, he wants you to receive it, open it, engage with it, take it, rejoice in it, know the goodness of him in your life in it. And so therefore, when you do that, you know the goodness of God. You see him for who he truly is. You see him in the light that he should be seen, which is he is generous, he is good, he is loving, he is kind, he is not stingy, he is not impulsive, but he can be spontaneous. He is your gracious and your loving Heavenly Father. That's who he is. And so he is the one who likes to give good gifts, and every gift that he gives is good and perfect for the person or the people that receive it. God knows how to give good gifts to you, and he knows how to give good gifts to me. And so therefore, when you receive it, when you know it, you're seeing him as your loving Heavenly Father. You can open up your arms. He will open up his arms, and he will embrace you because it's the good and perfect gift. And so this morning, there have been many gifts that God has given you. And even as we draw unto a Christmas time, there are many gifts that are given at Christmas time. And we live in an age sometimes where things are open and trivial and thrown away. But don't allow that to creep into your faith. When God gives you something, you got to value it. You got to treasure it. You got to receive it. You got to enjoy it. You got to just embrace it and say, Lord, this is from you. And so it's good to take time to recognize what God has given to you. Has he given you something or somebody in your life that's been a gift? And if he has, you just say, Lord, thank you. But as I was thinking about these things, the last slide that I'd like to show you is Jesus. He is the gift to you and me, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a gift. When God gave Jesus to the world, it wasn't out of being impulsive. No, he actually thought about it. It was a plan between him and the Son and the Spirit together. He thought about it. He thought about the time in which God would give his Son back 2,000 years ago. He gave it so that the people of God and the people of the world will know the goodness of God. And Jesus is the right fit. He fits into your life and he fits into mine. He's the right fit for everybody. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what location you come from. No matter who you are or where you're from, if you're human, which we all are, Jesus is the right fit for you. And so therefore, because Jesus is the right fit, that also means that his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is the right fit, like a glove that fits into your body. And he's there to bring joy. Allow the Lord to bring joy into your life. And as you receive him, and as you receive the Lord and the Holy Spirit, value and treasure him, and don't throw him away. Don't throw anything of your faith away. Don't throw the confidence that you have in God away. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for all that you've given to me, and cause me to know the joy and the treasure of you in my life. Will we bring these things to a close, and will we respond to the Lord? This is what I'd like you to do, is just open up your hands. Everybody just open up your hands this morning. And we're going to say thank you to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us. They are many and varied. And we thank you for all that you have given from heaven and from your heart to us. And this morning, Lord, if you have a gift for anyone here this morning, Lord, cause them to just receive it with joy and receive it by faith. For that's how we receive the gifts of God. We receive them by faith. And so this morning, Lord, if you'd like to give a gift, whether it be the gift of the Holy Spirit, or whether it be the gift of salvation, or the gift of forgiveness, or the gift of just a renewal of your love in relationship with you, Lord, we receive it by faith. Pour it into our hearts, pour it onto our laps and into our hands, and we say, Lord, we thank you, and we see you for who you really are, our loving and gracious, loving Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.